I enter the silence. I enter the silence. I enter the silence. Robert Sardello, in his book Silence, the Mystery of Wholeness, suggests trying this little practice that I just offered you there. So, varying the gaps in a short sentence. It can be whatever sentence you fancy. Well, within reason, I guess. There are probably some sentences that aren't too reflective that you might have in your mind. So, varying the gaps, I enter the silence. I enter the silence. Feels very different indeed. And you can notice the changes in that. Now, the suggestion here is to try this for 5 minutes a day. I'm looking round to see if 5 minutes a day seems a bit horrific to people, or whether that's something that's just a breeze. I make no judgment. This is not a place for judgment. But there's something about space here in this statement, isn't there? There's something about the pause. You may recall in the start of Eckhart Tolle's book, there was talk about the pause. So how long should you be in silence? Well, St. Anthony, the Desert Father, sneaked in a quick 20 years. Anybody fancy that? 20 years in silence. How about you little people up there? How do you fancy 20 years in silence? We're getting a shake of the head. How about you out there, 20 years in silence? And there's some amazing pictures of St. Anthony arriving into that silence with monsters and apparently violent colours painted as St. Anthony arrived in the silence. The feeling is that he wasn't ready for the silence. Well, silence can be such a powerful thing. Anybody seen the 2013 film Gravity? Sandra Bullock. I'm getting the odd nod on the head. Any more? Yeah, we've got some more over here. So this is about a space crash, which is all a bit of a disaster. It's not about being in space for 9 months, having thought you had been there for 8 days, which obviously somebody have just had. And the crash scene, you may remember if you've seen it, where everything falls apart is in total silence. So you see this destruction and the fear and the reaction from the people. It's in silence. What power silence has. Let's go back to years. I get the sense that 20 years didn't really work for you. I don't know whether that's right or not. So we'll have another go. Pythagoras. Pythagoras. It was a few years ago, wasn't it, Pythagoras? But I don't know whether you can recall, and I'm struggling to recall, but Pythagoras had a pretty big school of science and maths and study. Yeah? Do we remember that? I know we didn't attend. I know we weren't there. But he had a big school. So, question here, and I'll take answers. How many years... Sorry, got that wrong. I've giveaway. How long did you have to sit in silence before you could start to study at Pythagoras' school? I gave it away with the years, didn't I? I was hoping to get like 30 days or 10 days an answer. And irritating, I got a correct answer. 5 years. 5 years. Now just get your head around that. If you want to come and study and understand all these fantastic things with me, you've got to sit in silence for 5 years. How's that working? Now, we're still not going well, really, are we? Add a different version. So the Jewish practice of sitting shiva after a funeral, which I'm sure many of you will be aware of, but the friends and family go around for 7 days, and the instruction to everybody who goes to the family is to sit in silence and listen and allow those who are mourning to express what they want to express. So we've got 7 days there of silence, or maybe it's just an hour or two of just going to listen in silence. So we've a lot to cope with here, haven't we? It's quite hard, this silence malarkey. You know, how long do we sit in silence for? We've got the impact that it makes, as demonstrated by gravity. And then we've got this pause. And what is this pause? I'm going to try and get this question right now. What in the year 2000 was the average attention span of a human being? We've got 20 minutes. Any other takers? 45 minutes. Well, you know, as ever, it's, you know, I've not researched this research, but 12 seconds I'm given. 12 seconds. And it's now 8 seconds, which is quite worrying, because in the same survey in 2000, a goldfish's attention was 9 seconds. And I've definitely not researched the goldfishes, you know. So I've going to give you no qualitative empirical evidence that's accurate. But I think the principle can work. Our attention is getting a little worse. So let's just perhaps give you the opportunity of seeing how a little bit of silent attention can go. Thich Nhat Hanh and his book on silence, which is a lovely book, by the way, uses this lovely phrase, enlightened aimlessness. Enlightened aimlessness as a description of entering into silence. And you can imagine a huge catalogue of stuff, of qualities of silence, which you might wish to call enlightened aimlessness. So let's just have a moment of enlightened aimlessness together. Well, I kind of felt a little aimless at that point. I'm not sure I felt particularly enlightened, but maybe some of you did. I don't know. I talked about earlier about the temptations of St. Anthony, and there's an Eisenheim altarpiece where he's in a sky blue cloak dragged by beasts, and there's a small creature, human-like, laughing in the corner, wearing a red fool's hat. Can you imagine this picture? A red fool's hat pointing to an indiscernible figure in the light somewhere in the corner. Now, this is an image that was a description of how the artist understood St. Anthony was early on in his 20 years. Yeah? Early on in his 20 years. You know, pointing to this light somewhere miles away. Quite a fascinating thing, this silence. Or at least I feel it is. I'm just going to offer you three quotes. Just I'll say the quote and just a little bit of silence. Henry Nguyen. Silence, the furnace of transformation. And from John and Donahue's Anamkara, we do not create music, we only create the conditions so she can appear. And from Emily Dickinson, the brain is wider than the sky. Thank you for listening to those and holding the silence, a little bit of silence. Now, if this is all a bit too much, and apologies if it is, a couple of pieces from a book called Silence in the Age of Noise from Norwegian adventurer Erling Kagge. And it's a great little book. He's an explorer, and it's his journey of going on various explorations and recognizing the importance of silence through that process. And he quotes Blaise Pascal, who's a 16th century philosopher and boredom theorist, so I understand, a boredom theorist. Not quite sure, but I'm not sure I'd like to be one of those, or you may in fact be bored. I may well be a boredom theorist, I don't know. Written in the 16th century, of course, all of man's problems stem from his inability to sit quietly in a room alone. I can think of a few people I'd like to be sitting quietly in a room alone at the moment, not interfering with the world. And he also quotes an electric shock experiment from a long time ago when we were allowed to do these electric shock experiments. Where people were going to be paid money to sit in silence or take an electric shock. And over half the participants in the end chose to take the electric shock so they could stop sitting in silence. And one poor soul shocked themselves 190 times. I'm not quite sure what that's all about. But it was a really interesting description of how people would rather inflict a bit of pain on themselves than sit in silence. But if you want a book that's littered with different ways to invite silence, I heartily recommend that. There's all sorts of stuff in there. The opening words you heard from me when and Josh was playing at the start, a poem prayer. I welcome this energy into my body. That's my daily prayer, those words. And I say daily prayer with a smile on my face because I don't do it every day. But it is the words that I use myself as my own personal ritual. I welcome this energy for the guidance it brings. And we had Eckhart Tolle's Stillness Speaks, which has been a fascinating book for me because I really struggle with Eckhart Tolle in general. And for somebody who talks about the removal of the ego, I find it quite hard to receive his ego, if I'm honest. However, this particular book speaks to me really well, really, really well. What is silence? Did you work that out when I asked you? Where is silence? Well, I think silence can be literally everywhere. Psalm 62 is a prayer. Traditionally, all faiths offer prayer and ritual as a method of attaching to silence. And of course, psalms can be choral and sung. And I didn't want to ruin it by singing it today, because I think you wouldn't have found it remotely peaceful if I'd have been singing it. Silence isn't about a detachment or the removal of ego for me. It's about finding a sense in our living. I'm going to return now to Sardarlo's mystery of wholeness. How do we get to this silence thing? What's it all about? Well, here's the thing. Are you ready for this? You've got to be outside yourself and inside yourself at the same time. So you've got to be able to reflect both ways. I think that's going to take a bit of practice. And it can be inconsistent. But how do we feel the border between that that's inside us and that that's outside us? Just so you know, I'm not sure I've got the answer, but I'm going to give it a bit of a go. So the first quality Sardarlo talks about is a pulsating motion. So this is a spiritual motion, it's not a spatial motion. It's a sense of touch, but not of a point of the body. And it's not a point of time either. It's just a sense of touch that just rests. And such a quality gives our sense of touch a different sensibility from that of being touched by a person. Pulsating. It's not being stroked. It's like a friendly phantom. Well, perhaps angel might be a bit better than saying friendly phantom, but you get the gist. So we've got this pulsating. And then this interiority felt exteriorly. I think you know what I mean by that. So that's a kind of whirling feeling because it's inside and outside. So for those of you who know the Sufi whirling dervishes, yeah? So that whirling feeling. So feel free to have a whirl if you wish. It's not about that. It's about feeling that. A bit like a vortex, except it isn't a vortex. But it's got that feeling, multiple penetrating things happening. And then the third quality of a current of silence is the touch, as if we slow down and we're folded inside ourselves. And then we can feel the layers. You might think you don't have many layers. I used to think that. I've got buckets of them. And it's not visual, it's imagined. So this is a description that is a feeling quality. It's experiential. It's not to be taken literally. There's a lot of things in this world that aren't to be taken literally. But if you take this feeling of pulsing and whirling, however that feels for you, and this layering, it's not about searching for it, thinking there's an answer. It's about noticing it. It's about noticing that it's there. And noticing that silence is complex. It's got complex characteristics. So if you accept life's guidance to notice the presences, the spirit beings, if you like, you know, the angels and the friendly phantom, however you want to describe it, these are the currents of silence. It's the spirit of life, the spirit of love. It's God. Silence is growth. In even the shortest of silence, then, we are not inactive, but we are approaching the fullness of our being. Amen.